You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Well, those are the sweet sounds of Randy Stonehill, of course, icon and pioneer of the Christian rock movement and a very good friend of the Drew Marshall Show. I think he's been on a couple times. But, folks, I want you to imagine the onstage magnetism of Mick Jagger, the lyrical brilliance of Bob Dylan, and the personality fragility. You remember Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys?
Yes.
He was fragile.
He was.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a genius, though.
Well, combine all that stuff together, you get Larry Norman. Really. The godfather of Christian rock. His good friend, Randy Stonehill, stars in a new expose about Larry's complicated life called Fallen Angel, The Outlaw, Larry Norman. This new documentary is produced, directed, and thunk up of... Wow, where are we going today? By Emmy-nominated Canadian filmmaker David DeSabatino. And I don't think David's going to use me for any voiceovers anytime soon. Hi, David, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on. You've been on once before, I think. Didn't we talk about Lonnie Frisbee at one time?
Yeah, you had me on a couple of years ago, and we talked about Frisbee, yeah.
Yeah. And is there somebody else there hanging around with you on the phone right now?
I hope so.
I am close enough to be heard, but you don't have to contend with my breath, so that's a blessing.
Mr. Stonehill, my friend, how are you?
Mr. McMarshall, ski as I live and breathe, lad.
Yeah, I see the meds still aren't quite working.
Well, you know, we're experimenting. You know, it's another fluorescent orange day, and I'm actually just I'm giddy. I'm giddy with excitement. It's just good to touch down with you again.
Well, Randy, I'm glad that you're coming back to Toronto. The last time I saw you, I said goodbye to you at the airport. I gave you a big hug. You were standing on the curb. I was down on the pavement side, and as I hugged you, I noticed, and you noticed. You actually pointed it out. You sort of said, why did your right leg go up in the air when you hugged me? Why did you do that?
Yeah, you know, that's a visual that's sadly going to stay with me for a long, long time, Drew. And thanks so much for bringing that up again. I guess it's the mystery of fellowship, and
you guys want to have a private moment?
Yeah, we're just having a moment here, David.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll get back to you, David.
No, that's fine. Drifting into privacy.
You'd only have this kind of conversation with two guys from California. That's all I'm saying right there. Okay, David DeSabatino. Dude, you are causing a stir, and there's a there's another website out there, and people talking smack, and there's Facebook comments, and I don't know. You might need some security when you show up here in Toronto next week.
Larry was loved, you know. They I loved him too. But the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, so the first thing that everybody wants to know, and I've read this online time and time again, is Randy Stonehill, how dare you be part of an expose about possibilities and mistruths and exaggeration and inflammatory comments about your good friend Larry Norman? How could you? How do you respond?
I respond simply by saying, how could I not? I think if you love someone enough, if you love someone, you respect them enough to tell the truth. And I think one of the main reasons that I'm involved in the film in the first place is that when you dare to tell the truth and shine a light on our brokenness, and we all have that in varying, different flavors and varying degrees, you immediately have a more vivid picture of God's grace, because he's known about our brokenness the whole time and yet chooses to love us and chooses to gift us, and chooses to use us on our best days and our worst days. So I just really thought it would be disingenuous to canonize Larry and just pretend that everything was okay. That would do both that would do him a disservice, and it would do the kingdom a disservice. Because the other thing is, you look at this guy and his brilliance and his brokenness, and you see, in his darkest moments, he was a piece of work. But you know what? He really did wrestle with things. I knew him you know, ever since he was in his early 20s and I was in my teens, I watched this guy's journey. And he wrestled, and sometimes he lost more than he won, and sometimes that almost seemed, in the latter years, it almost seemed intentional. He just sort of said, well, you know what, I'm gonna do what I do and be who I be. And so it got pretty ugly, but again, he really did, he had great struggles, but he was also greatly used, by God, and there's no question about either of those truths.
Okay,
Just to give you some context on this, I mean, part of when we started this, we went to Larry. I mean, we wanted to avoid this kind of thing. So to push this back onto me is kind of, you know, it's not hearing the whole story. Pamela, when his ex-wife came to me and said, you know, I want to be part of this, we both went to Larry time and time again and said, hey, wouldn't it be great to tell a story in all of its truth, in all of its honesty, and just come on and explain as best as you can. You're going to have to take some hits because some of the stuff is probably inexplicable. And, you know, let's just be honest. Wouldn't it be a great story to have you then come and say, hey, I'm sorry to everybody? And instead, what we got was a wall and then an attack. And so when you say, you know, Dave, why are you raising this dust? That wasn't the intent. The intent was to tell a story of truth and honesty about a guy that had touched a lot of people's lives, had impacted my life in a great way. But to stop telling this, you know, grandiose, pompous nonsense that had been spun about him, and just tell a real and honest Bible story. Because I'll tell you, when we did that with Lonnie, it was really powerful.
Yeah, but
people
Lonnie
really responded.
But Lonnie was dead. Hello?
Yeah.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
testing.
He was dead.
Yeah, but so there's a difference between somebody who's alive that you're sort of telling a messy story about, or someone who's dead that you're telling a messy story about. Now, I realize that, you know, it sort of got...
But we went to him and asked him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right, okay. All right. I watched it, by the way. You sent me a copy of it, and I really appreciate that. Thank you. I watched it, and then I digested. And I was thinking, and I'm a processor, and I'm an external and internal processor. And soon afterwards, I realized I had an ickiness in my spirit, and I couldn't figure out what it was or where it was coming from. And let me lay something out on you guys, and you tell me your reaction to my reaction. My reaction to watching this, and by the way, sorry, let me just tell everyone, the Toronto screening, which is going to feature live tunage from Randy, right? Randy, are you coming to this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Live tunes from Randy Stonehill, Q&A with the director, David DeSabatino, both who are on the phone right now, February 23rd, two Wednesdays from now, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Review Cinema down in Toronto. My reaction was this. I was disturbed, and I was trying to figure out why I was disturbed. I wasn't bugged. If anybody's all about being honest about messiness, it's me. I think both you guys know that, and you know that about me, and that's kind of why we've got a little camaraderie going here. But I was trying to figure out where I was getting this bugness from, and I think it was because Larry was more foundational or more formation. He was a key part of how I processed the Jesus stuff over the years. He was a rebel, and so I've got a bit of that in me. He was a maverick. I got a bit of that in me. He was against the institution. He was an iconoclast. That's what I am as well. And I did. You know what? It forced me to admit that I put the guy on a pedestal. I worshipped Larry Norman. And this movie, this documentary, forced me to own the fact that I should not have done that. I should have seen him in the light of my own issues, as opposed to looking at him through rose-colored glasses. Do you know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah, I do. Because Larry, you know, and I don't know, I guess part of his protective veneer, part of his MO is that he loved media wizards like Bob Dylan, you know, people like that just knew how to frame and spin their story. And not only did he point to Jesus with sincerity, at least in the early years, but he sort of courted that very dynamic that you're talking about.
Right.
He I think he, you know, I mean, we all, it's weird. It's a delicate combination of what we do. We all have enough ego that we dare to be in the spotlight, and then we try to use that as conduits, you know, to point to truth and to God's love. And I think that early on, as Larry's career really started to pick up steam, you know, he really did want people to see him as larger than life and as the man of mystery. And so, a lot of people did that.
My reaction to that, Randy and David, is I'm a little bugged. I'm a little bugged that he was at the helm of perpetuating his own myth. David, do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, coming from a documentary filmmaker standpoint, go watch a documentary about John Lennon. You know, I watched one last week, and they put a microphone in front of Yoko when John Lennon's court case with the people who were trying to extricate him from the United States was over. He came into a party where Yoko was, grabbed the first girl, brought her into a bedroom, and had his way with her, very noisily, is what they say. And so the documentary filmmaker puts the microphone in front of Yoko and says, "What did you think about that?" But, you know, in normal rock documentaries, these icons are not spared their humanness. You know, go watch a documentary about Townes Van Zandt. Go watch one about Harry Nilsson. I mean, their friends sit around and say, "Here's the height and here's the depth. What a guy." And they just, you know, here it is. It's all laid out. In the Christian community, we're not allowed to do that somehow because these guys are men of God and, you know, blah, 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 and they've touched our lives and stuff like that. But, Drew, go back to the Bible. You know, you could say the same thing about King David. The guy that stood in Israel and had the chutzpah, let's say the balls, to write in the Jerusalem Times that the king had bedded Bathsheba and then turned around and orchestrated the death of her husband. That guy is my hero because he told a story that 2,000, 6,000 years later, whatever it is, we take great benefit from because we see the intent of David's heart, even in spite of his failures. So that's where I'm coming from. Say, well, you're taking this stuff away from Larry or you're doing this stuff for this. This is a great story, you know, about a guy who had the bully pulpit for a moment, touched a lot of people's lives, but had all this stuff in his life. And God uses him in spite of all of that. That's a good story.
Okay.
There's something healthy about dismantling the facade without dismantling the very real and lasting contribution he made to culture and to God's work. So if you feel kind of icky, as you say, maybe that's actually a healthy, you know, sort of self-realization. Going, yeah, I shouldn't see anyone as larger than life. We're all on an even, you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Maybe that's good.
Okay, on the phone here with Randy Stonehill and David DeSabatino, they are involved in a screening of a little flick called Fallen Angel, The Outlaw, Larry Norman. It's going to be screened here in Toronto at the Review Cinema Wednesday, February 23rd from 7 to 10 p.m. I will be there, and I know many people who are also planning on being there. This is something that... Listen, a lot of Canadians know who, a lot of, you know, in the Jesus population know who Larry Norman was. They, you know, a lot of them have listened. I mean, I did that hour and a half long interview with him prior to his death, obviously. And it was amazing for me to hear the background and the stories and just the way he communicates things. I mean, the guy was a master of communication. Agreed? Both of you would agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But coming back on all this, wow, we're really going to air his dirty laundry out there? I mean, isn't that like just basically a cinematic form of gossiping, David?
Well, again, I mean, I would throw you back to rock documentaries.
Yeah, but, you know, come on. The Christians are going to say, we are not the rock and roll world. We're supposed to be higher. We have a higher calling than that.
well, then I would throw you back to the Bible, you know, and say, you know, there's a reason for doing it if there's an eye on redemption, you know. It's not necessarily just to, I think, you know, believe it or not, Drew, this is gracious to Larry, you know. In my estimation, from what I've heard from other people, I tried to deal with the honesty of what I was getting. And you know, people are getting up in arms about you know, the stuff that's in there.
Right.
But I know what's on the cutting room floor. So yeah. I believe that we were gracious.
Right, right.
In just telling an honest story.
Well, someone who doesn't think you were gracious is actually on the line with us right now. Charlie Norman, I'd like to introduce you to Randy and David. Charlie? I'm just kidding, guys. He's not really on the phone. Oh, how bad am I? What kind of a jerk does that?
You're kooky. You're kooky like that.
Bring him on.
Yeah, we'd talk to him because, like I said, again, you know, the whole intent of the film was to tell the truth. Wait till I see you in person. No. The whole intent of the film was to tell the truth with grace and with wisdom and I got to say, you know, what David does, he speaks forth the truth here, because there is stuff that was left out that you thought, well, does this, if we include this, does this paint a picture of the depth of the brokenness, or now we cross the line and it's just salacious and it's just, you know, it's just almost ugly for ugly's sake.
Right.
We had all those conversations, Drew. I mean, you know,
yeah, we really
I wrestled with this. I wrestled with this long and hard. I wrestled with whether to do this. I'll tell you the tipping point for me, because I remember early on, after talking to Randy, after talking to all these people, thinking, this is not a story that needs to be told. I honestly thought that in the depths of my heart. When I started to find out how dark it had gotten, the child from Australia came to me, and he was just about to show me emails between him and Larry, the correspondence, which we never made public. We just let it be. And he said to me just before he showed me them, he turned to me and he says, "You're not going to believe me, because nobody believes me. Everybody sides with Larry." Now you tell me what you would do in that situation.
What did this child tell you?
I looked at this kid. What do you mean?
You haven't given us the background. I know the background, but our listeners don't. What did this? You said this child came to you. Who was this child?
Sorry, the child from Australia that Larry fathered, the estranged son, who had come forward in the aftermath of his death and even before that, and said, "Hey, you know, I need to be acknowledged. You know, you missed me for my whole life. My mother was treated poorly, and Larry promised her the world. Promised that he would take them to the U.S. to live, and, you know, in the wake of his death, they phoned the Norman family, said, "Hey, you know, fly us up. I'd like to come to the funeral. I'd like to learn about Larry. Please, you know, acknowledge us," and they've shut the door tight. And then, so the child said, "Nobody believes me." He came to me and said, "You know, this is my story, and for my whole life, I've been trying to get this man to acknowledge me. I've been trying to get somebody to say something, and nobody had." So for me, it was like, here's a kid that's been wronged. Here's a kid that's been on the other side of some of the darkest moments of this guy's life. Who do you stand with? I mean, that really shook me to the core. And I said, you know what? This story needs to be told just for the kid, because his voice needs to be heard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't really worry. If you're asking me as a filmmaker, I'm not too worried about Larry's reputation. I will stand on the side of a kid that's been oppressed and abused more than I will some guy that is spinning stories about himself.
Okay, we've had a number of people email us and say, "Oh, Drew, don't forget, or have a look at this website. There's a website out there that is saying that this movie is all garbage, and it's a friend of the family and someone who's writing Larry's biography or something, and it's called failedangle.com, failed angle. And so, you know, journalistic integrity says, well, I need to look into this. So I had a little read through some of the stuff. I was trying to get a vibe for where this guy was coming from, and, you know, I have a decent BS detector, and I was trying to sniff it out to see, you know, the angles, and There was one sort of PDF that said, here's a proof of something, and you click on the PDF, and it was like two sentences on a typewriter, little tiny, you know, edited clip. Like, it was, seriously, it was a centimeter wide by, I don't know, 6 centimeters long, and it was just... I don't know. There were certain parts of that website that I thought, this is really kind of weird, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's behind all this. But Randy, if anyone was tight with Larry Norman, it was you. If anybody had,
yes.
If anybody had, an axe to grind, Randy Stonehill, it was you. You and Larry had, I don't know. What is the best way to describe the relationship you had with Larry Norman?
Boy,
tumultuous, loving.
Yeah, it was
brotherly.
It was just it was brotherly. It was a rare, a rare creative camaraderie that was just, you know, I think for both of us, really, really joyous and exhilarating. But it also had a father-son dynamic as well, because this is the man who led me to the Lord. And so, if anybody, and I worked with him for 12 years. I was his closest confidant. He confided things in me that I will take to my grave, actually, because, like I said, they don't need to be in the film.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really intense, really unique relationship. And I'll tell you, I mean, talk about unique. When I look at Larry and his presence in my life, it's unlike anything else I've ever experienced, because here's a guy who had such a profoundly positive effect on me. He led me to the gates of eternity. He showed me, a godly picture of reality when he introduced me to Jesus. He also, he also caused me the most pain, of anyone or anything in my entire existence. So it was profoundly rich with him and profoundly painful. And frankly, I learned enough about, I learned enough about this Jesus that he led me to realize that I don't have an axe to grind. We've been forgiven everything. And so if I realized that if I did not forgive Larry for the wounding, and also put that in perspective to say, look, a lot of this came out of his own dysfunction, his own insecurities. Okay, at times some of it was downright wicked. But, the bottom line is, if I don't forgive him, then I allow myself to be wounded again and again and again if I hold on to the past. And I'm a lousy witness, because people just see me being bitter and angry and wanting to get at him. And that was just, that's not how I am. And if you look at the film, you can see, I think you can see the intent of my heart. And frankly, if push came to shove and people went, this is what we hear from your lips, but we think you're out to get him.
Well,
okay. I'm just saying, I would if it boiled down to it, I'd go, I'll take a lie detector test. I lived with the guy for 8 months. I worked with him. I was closer than a brother with him.
Right.
So,
okay. Here's an email that we got from one of our listeners, Steve Grove, over in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It doesn't get any more Canadian than that. He says, I get your weekly email update. I see Randy Stonehill is on, and the relationship with Larry Norman is front and center. Drew really needs to check out the other side of the story before he swallows hook, line, and sinker what Randy has to say. He can check out failedangle.com for that other side. I have no vested interest in that site, but was a fan of both Stonehill and Norman until Fallen Angel came out after Norman's death. Now I couldn't care less what Stonehill has to say. Your response, Randy?
I guess he's entitled to feel what he wants to feel. Like I said, I tried to show my heart in the film and trust that, human insight and God's spirit will be the will be the witness. I don't think I come off in the film as, well, this is like good cop, bad cop. You know, he's the villain and I'm the hero. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty open about my own brokenness, in that there are interviews or there is information about not one, but both of my ex-wives.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not acting like I'm just, virtually pristine or something. And if you look at the film too, there are places where I actually say, look, maybe I contributed to some of the ways he kind of worked me or manipulated me, because I was young and I was insecure, and I kind of, for a season there, I enjoyed just being kind of riding in his wake. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say, except I don't know why someone would have that strong of a response to what I do, unless again, they have just chosen to...
No, look, Randy, the reason the responses are so strong is because both you, Randy Stonehill, and your buddy, Larry Norman, had such a killer impact on so many people. And now, what we really want is we want you to have forever. You know, I remember that first rumor that came out, Randy, and of course you know it well. And Larry stole Randy's wife, and And of course, as humans, we gravitate to that. But the first time we ever hear some kind of, by the way, there was more to that story than what I just said there, and you need to see this movie and figure it out. But here's the deal: we want you guys to join arms with Keith Green and sing Kumbaya, and we want to see you at the Last Days Ministries place with Melody and have just a love fest. You know, we want it to be, and we don't want our bubble bursted, man, because you two rocked our worlds. You guys showed us how to authentically follow Christ despite whatever religion or church was selling us. And we are in debt to you guys for this. And when we find out there's some baggage that both y'all have, I mean, let alone Randy, you got really how many failed marriages? And Larry, you've got, you know, all these issues. And I mean, I'm not even going to go into it. You got to see this movie. It wrecks us. It has an impact on us. But as I said at the beginning, that's our fault for putting you on that platform. When I pastored in Australia, my first message was, if you platform me, if you put me on a pedestal, you are the moron, not me.
Yeah, and we will fail them. But again, I think ultimately, the essence of the film still boils down to seeing God's tender mercies and His grace and His plan at work in all the ups and downs of our ragged human journey.
Yeah,
and
Drew, I'm trying to wrap my head around you being a pastor.
Yeah, okay.
I'd also like to say
that was you were pastoring the Church of the Fluorescent Leopard God.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't have that information.
Yes, and when everyone joined this organization, we gave them a free year supply of Kool-Aid. You see how that works? We just
ouch.
Yep.
You know, the truth will set you free, but it might make you miserable when you hear it the first time. You know, and listen. I wish that I really, when I sat down and I had been told the story, I really wished it was different. I did not start this story thinking, oh, I honestly thought I had another Lonnie story. I honestly thought that. Whether I wasn't listening, whether I was naive, whether I was, I honestly thought, okay, this is a broken guy. I can turn this. I can make this into another story where you are inspired by this guy, and in the end you just kind of look away and think, well, you know, okay, he had this in his life, and I couldn't do it. I honestly came to the end. I have a friend, Sam, who might be listening right now. I remember being on the phone with him, and I'm explaining to him. He's a Sunday school teacher. He was a Sunday school teacher at the time. He's a pastor now. I said to him, I can't believe that this story, and he shot back to me. He says, even you don't want this to be true. And it was true.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a tough story.
Yeah, yeah. And as a documentary filmmaker, you know, you don't know the direction this movie's going to take even halfway through putting it together. You know what I mean?
Had Larry been involved when we asked him, I really believe this would be a different kind of...
Yeah. Randy, when David comes to you and says, Randy, we want to do the same kind of movie on your life, are you going to sign off on that and be willing to be involved?
You know, I would, I would ask him when he comes, Andrew, but he has fled in the night with his family and his brother. Thank you so very much. Nice to speak to you.
My next one is on Donny Erickson. I'm going to show her doing aerobics.
I think your next one should be on that really popular gay Christian boy band. They're called Fruits of the Spirit.
This is
this going downhill? Where is this going right
Butterflies now? And puppy dogs for me from now on.
Yeah, that's right.
No more.
Okay,
no
Toronto screening featuring live music with Randy Stonehill, Q&A with the director David DeSabatino, security provided by Drew Marshall, Wednesday, February 23rd from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Review Cinema here in Toronto. I'll be there, and I would encourage all of you to go along as well. You know what? This is an exercise in pushing through familial issues. And we do it in counseling, left, right, and center. I think we should do it communally as well. So I encourage everyone to go to this sucker. Guys, thank you, thank you, thank you for your time and your hearts. You're both nuts, and I love you.
I love we're fun at parties. Hey, Andrew, I got to say, my candid response to if someone was going to do a film like this on me, I really would have to be man enough and Christian enough to say, yeah, okay. But I guess I'll just have to, I'll have to have my pastor close by for counsel, and I'll have to take plenty of Dramamine to tell the broken story of my own, of my own journey, and say, the journey was worth the ride because of God's grace, and that's what gives anyone's life, with all the mess of it, all the messiness, that's, gives anyone's life meaning anyway.
Yeah, good
so
call.
There you go.
Good call, good call. All right, guys, go away.
Thanks, hey, listen, we're looking forward to seeing you, man.
Yeah, just keep the leg down when you hug me next Wednesday or two Wednesdays. Okay? All right, boys. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
See you when you come to Toronto. Bye-bye. All right, folks, that's it. Went a little long with that one. Dadgummit, I knew I was going to do that. Little Larry Norman in the background singing I Love You. We got lots more coming up, including Jane Seymour, so stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.